Hey there, and welcome to King Crush Thursday. This is the place where we're redefining the stories we hear about Black men, one amazing guest at a time. In each episode, we ask the same six questions, but trust me, no two answers are ever alike. Each conversation opens up a whole new world of experiences and insights. So grab your headphones and get ready to join us on this exciting journey. Let's dive right in with your host, Val Gay.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of King Crush Thursdays, the series where we highlight and uplift Black men, because frankly, not too many people are doing it. My name is Val Gay, and I'm super excited to bring to you this brother today. This brother is a native Philadelphian who now lives in a little town in New Jersey, has a husband to a beautiful wife who actually has a doctorate of 20 years, and their two beautiful children in college and in high school. He himself, multiple degrees and educated man. We're just so happy to have him here today. Please welcome Mr. Marlo Smith. Hi, Marlo, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, thank you for being here. And so Marlo, we are here to contribute to the repository of the King Crush Thursday, which is just six questions that we're asking of these positive Black men. So six questions on our way to 100 answers from 100 different Black men, with the goal of one day having a young king who may or may not have positive Black male role models in his life, that he can come and look at this repository, see these same six questions, and read all of these different answers or hear all these different answers, and perhaps find guidance in those things, in those answers. And perhaps for the rest of us who are maybe neither Black or even male, that we too can actually come to this repository and learn a bit more about a group of people who, in my estimation, are undervalued, underappreciated, and underrepresented. Only a microcosm of Black maleness, if you will, is seen in the media in any place else. And we want to expand that narrative. So I'm so glad that you're here to participate and to increase our knowledge. And with that, I'm going to get started with the first question, which is, what does manhood mean to you?
Yeah, manhood means to me, I'd say in a nutshell, responsibility. That's the main thing I think about being a man. The difference that separates, a young person from when they're growing up and when they're learning, people that come alongside them, whether it be their parents, whether it be older friends, siblings, teachers, coaches, we all need someone to help guide us. The problem with being young, I think sometimes is that you think you know it all. Having two teens in my house, I experienced a little bit of that myself. They're full of energy and full of life, but sometimes I think they think they have everything all mapped out. And you can always gain from some knowledge and of the experience of others. And I think that's why mentoring, I think, to me is so important. You're able to impart knowledge that you've gone through yourself or that you've seen others go through. And you can, talk about some of the potential challenges, some of the pitfalls, and also give them some good advice to help them get on a good path to make sure that they can achieve their goals. So manhood to me, I think, at the end of the day, it boils down to being responsible to yourself, to your family, to your neighborhood, to your community, to the larger society at a whole, because I think, the building block of any great society starts at home. So if your home is good, if your home is tight, if you've got good mentors, I think it really gives people a leg up and gives them an advantage that not many other people have. So I think for me, I'd say the main thing about, manhood is making sure that your sphere of influence, everybody there is doing the best that they possibly can.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you so much. So Marlo, who and or what is important to you?
Wow. definitely family. you know, I love my family. My family, you know, obviously is the first place where I knew and experienced love. My mother, Orenthia Smith, man, that woman, she embodied the word love. She unfortunately passed last year, but, you know, she was throughout her 77 years, an amazing beacon of light, love, joy, and care. I mean, you know, this is a woman who was born down south, so she had those southern qualities, you know, where she was like, hey, come on in, baby. You know, she'd feed anybody. You know, she always greet people with a hug and a kiss. You know, people, friends I might have met, you know, later in life, you know, bring them by the house and, hey, come on in. And, you know, she's talking to them like she's known them for like 20, 30 years. You know, that's just, you know, how she was. And she just showed that to everybody. So I definitely had a great example, you know, from her. So that's why family is so important to me. And my parents were kind of a yin and yang. So my mom was, you know, more of the, you know, expressive, the loving kind. And then my dad, you know, he's more of the logical, you know, by the book, matter of fact kind of person. So I think I got a good mixture of that growing up. So I think my personality was forged by them. You know, plus I had really good friends that I grew up with. Most of the friends I have, and I'm 48 years old. I've known most of my friends for about 48 years, you know, because we literally grew up all on the same block. The good thing for me is I was one of the younger guys. Most of my friends or my neighbors were a year, two, 3 years, 4 years older than I was. So I had the opportunity to kind of, you know, experience, see what they were doing and, you know, be able to say, yeah, I don't know if I would have done that if I was in his shoes, or I wouldn't have done that if I were in her shoes. And it kind of gave me the opportunity to kind of sit back and observe. And I was able to take, you know, pieces from, you know, like this person, I like their drive, or I like this person because, you know, they were always focused on education, or I like this other person because they had an outgoing personality, or had, you know, this person because they had a different trait that I found commendable that, you know, I might want to take and incorporate into my own. So, you know, family and friends definitely for me, you know, help mold me, help shape me. And even, you know, friends that I've gotten, you know, since I've become an adult, you know, some of the more, you know, dear, caring, loving people to me. And I can't say, I even though this lady's not blood, I got to say Miss Vicki Matthews, she is like my mentor. I met her when I did an internship at my first corporate job. And man, she's like my second mom. I mean, I told her if I ever become famous, I want her to be my my PR person, because, you know, she thinks so highly of me, probably even more highly I think of myself sometimes. But she's fantastic. And, you know, she calls me her son. I call her my mom. And, you know, since my mom's passed on, I told her, I said, well, listen, you know, you're my mom now, you know, so you got to fulfill that role. And she's been doing that the whole time. So it's been great.
That's beautiful. How beautiful is that? And the extension of the community. That's really wonderful. Thank you. So, Marlo, how do you want us to see you?
Wow. Great question. I want to be seen as, you know, someone who, you know, doesn't seek the spotlight, someone that doesn't try to make the most outlandish statements, you know, someone who, you know, is out there trying to be a media or a social media superstar. That's not on my radar, but I actually want to be a person who's actually out there making a difference. Making a difference in people's lives. One of the things that I'm super proud of is as a big brother in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, I've had a little brother that I've been paired with literally for the last 9 years. So I've literally seen this kid grow up. So ironically, as I mentioned, my daughter is a freshman in high school. I'm sorry, college. My little brother is literally 6 days older than my daughter. So, you know, the running joke around my house is that, you know, my last name is pretty common, Smith. His last name is also Smith. So my wife jokes around and says, hey, you know, is this your kid that I didn't know about or something like that? But it's like the funniest thing. But, you know, we really are like, you know, peas in a pod. And I'm so proud of this young man, you know, come from, you know, different circumstances than I, you know, but Philadelphia native himself, always focused in on education. I'll never forget. I met him when he was in fourth grade. Literally 30 seconds in to me meeting him, he told me, I want to grow up. I want to go to college. I want to get a good job. I want to help out my family. First 30 seconds of me meeting this kid, I was like, huh? Like, who are you? And like, where'd you come from? And I was like, listen, buddy, look, I don't even know if I could spell college when I was in fourth grade, let alone talk about going. So I said, listen, I'm here for you. I said, any and everything I can do, I'm going to make sure you're able to achieve your dreams. And, you know, I'm so proud of him. He actually started college this year as well. He's at Drexel University. So, I, you know, I couldn't be prouder of the kid if he was my own. So, you know, that's, you know, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but that's actually one of the things I'm most proud of. And, you know, it's one of the things that I want people to say is that, you know, when you think about Marlo Smith, you know, he's a person who took his gifts, took his talents, was able to impart the wisdom that he had to young people to positively impact their lives. And I've actually gotten some really good feedback. So I'll just let you know, Val, because since we're friends, I'm actually in the process of writing a book on civic leadership. And I've gone back and I've interviewed folks like my little brother and some other people I've mentored along the way. And they've told me that they remember things that I've taught them over the years or I've showed them over the years that has helped them to be successful. And I'm talking about, you know, one kid's a teacher and he's out there, you know, now he's a coach as well. So he's mentoring young people. And he says, I remember how you did that, you know, for me at the youth group at church. And there's another young man who's just completed law school, just graduated Penn Law. And he's got his own family. Now he's working up in New York City and they just had their first child, a son. So, you know, again, I'm just blown away. And got another kid who's studying to be a doctor. He's studying in Puerto Rico to be an eye doctor, an optometrist. So, you know, all these tentacles and all these people's lives that I've kind of like sown seeds into, and I see them doing great. It's just, you know, it's like the greatest feeling ever. And my wife knows that's my passion. And she, you know, I know sometimes it probably, you know, impedes a little bit on our family time, but, you know, I know she knows that the greater good is, you know, definitely there. And, you know, she's very supportive. So is my family. And I love and appreciate them for that.
That's really beautiful. How beautiful. That's, thank you. Thank you. It's really wonderful. So, Marlo, what is your epic dream?
Wow. It's a great question. So, you know, I'm in corporate America. But, you know, I would love to be, you know, at some point successful enough you know, with some of my side ventures to be able to, you know, stop doing that and to, you know, maybe do some of the mentoring that I do more full time. Like I said, I love mentoring, but, you know, right now I got responsibilities, you know, mortgage, kids in school, you know, I got retirement on the horizon, you know, so, you know, if I had the means, you know, I think I definitely would, you know, try to do something more toward the mentoring aspect on a, you know, more of a full-time basis as opposed to what I do now on a, you know, part-time weekend, you know, night kind of thing. So, you know, that would be my ultimate goal. You know, like I said, you know, dabble a little bit in some real estate, you know, got some investment property, you know, and that's essentially me, my wife and I. So she'll beat me up if I leave her out on that one. And, you know, that, and then, like I said, doing the book and, you know, doing other things. But, you know, that's not, you know, really why I do what I do. One of the other things, in addition to the mentoring, I actually created like a college and career kind of presentation that I do. Typically do it for, you know, the audiences, for the youth in my church. But I've been, you know, done it for some other folks externally as well. And it's, again, it's just to try to get people some of the knowledge. Because I really believe that people have the potential. They have the ability, but a lot of times they just don't know what's the first step. They don't know anybody in their circle that may have gone to college. They may not know anyone in their circle that's ever gone to a trade school. You know, a lot of the kids I meet, you know, their parents might work in retail, or, you know, they might work in a, you know, some sort of service industry, whether it be a restaurant or, you know, cleaning or whatever it might be. So they're not really exposed to people who might have a 9-to-5 job or a non-traditional kind of a job that they're just not aware of. So, like I said, I think the ability is there. So I always just try to open up new avenues, you know, show people new things. Yeah, I'm one of those, you know, each one, you know, teach one, each one, reach one kind of person where, you know, I've been blessed. I know that. I know I've had a, you know, really good life. I know I've had great mentors. I know I had great parents, great friends. So I've gotten this knowledge. Hey, let me impart this upon you. Now I want you to take that and impart it upon others, so that just like a, you know, when, let's say a pebble thrown into a pond, right, where it just creates those ripples and it just keeps going on infinitely, even though the ones you can't see, it goes all the way over to the other side of the pond. And that's really what I want to try to create with my life.
That's really beautiful. That's awesome. Thank you so much. So our question 5 is, Mr. Marlo Smith, who are you?
Wow. Who am I? a fun-loving guy. I enjoy, you know, sports, playing sports. Still, even though I'm not a young guy, you know, I still get out there and play basketball and you know, toss around football with my son and his friends. And, you know, when I talk to a lot of my friends in my peer group, you know, a lot of them, they're pretty much out of the game. You know, they don't do anything physical anymore. So I try to be as active as long as I can be. You know, that's a goal of mine. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a young kid, I was maybe 15 or 16. And there was an older gentleman that was on the basketball court. And, you know, after the game was over, I had to ask him, I said, excuse me, sir. I was like, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? And he told me he was like 75 years old. I was like, wow. I said, you're still out here? I mean, he's out here with like teenagers, right? He could have been there like great granddad. I'm like, wow. Like, how? A, why are you doing it? B, how do you do it? And C, you know, what gives you the drive and motivation? He said, listen, I'm alive just like you are. He said, I want to be out here. I said, I love the sport. I love, you know, getting out and getting some exercise. So why not? And I was like, hey, you know, that's a great attitude. So, you know, I kind of took that and just, you know, put that in the memory banks. And I was like, hey, you know, if that guy can do it at 77, you know, why can't I at 48, right? So, you know, that's the way I look at it. And, you know, I guess it helps too that, you know, I'm pretty good at it. So, you know, I'm not out there embarrassing myself or anything like that. So it's always good to, you know, get out and use it while you can. So I know a lot of people wish they could do it. So I'm still doing it. And so, you know, that's me with the sports. And then, you know, I enjoy politics, enjoy the news. You know, I enjoy, like, you know, playing games, enjoy spending time with friends, dining, all those things, you know, just overall kind of a fun guy. I just, you know, like to be with people and do things that are fun.
That's awesome. Excellent. 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 Thank you so much. So here we are already at question 6, which is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't, or you wanted me to ask you that I didn't? In other words, what did I miss?
I think, a lot of times when, you know, when you know, you get interviewed, you get, you know, questions, sometimes, you know, people always want to talk about the highlights, right? But, you know, I think sometimes our highlights come from, you know, challenges, you know, things that maybe weren't as easy that you had to, you know, kind of overcome or go through. So I'd probably say, you know, a question, you know, geared towards, you know, some of your, like, you know, one of your biggest challenges or some of your greatest obstacles and how you were able to overcome it. I think that always gives you know, a little bit more insight, you know, to the people, because, you know, I always think back to some of the, like, the superhero movies, you know, like Spider-Man, right? For instance, you know, he only started to fight crime because his uncle got killed when he didn't help out, you know, the police when they were trying to stop a bad guy, right? So you can see why he kind of feels like indebted now to do, you know, good things, as opposed to just, you know, kind of laying back and having powers but not really, you know, using them for good, if you will. So yeah, that's sort of the thing I would say. But, you know, in real life, obviously, we, you know, there's no superheroes. I mean, we are our superheroes. So I think that a lot of times people don't realize that they actually have the power within themselves to do great things. So for me, I think that's the biggest thing, is to just to, you know, give people the opportunity to be great, because you don't know that you can do something until someone has some belief in you. And I think belief is the greatest, you know, superpower that we have. You know, if you look at the Bible, I'm a Christian, so put that out there. And one of the things I noticed is, if you read the New Testament, you know, throughout the life of Jesus, when he was out, you know, teaching people, the people that actually got miracles, you know, answered, and they got things that done for them, were the people that believed. You had to have faith. Like, if you don't have faith, if you don't have that belief, you know, and a lot of cases, you know, those are ones that didn't get their prayers answered, right? You know, I never forget that, you know, that all those folks that got the blessings were the ones that had crazy, crazy faith, crazy, crazy belief. And, you know, if you have that and you put some action behind it, that's the powerful thing. So, but if you don't, you know, I think you're just wishing at that point, as opposed to having true faith and true belief, which will, you know, sustain you.
That's awesome. So you have the floor. I'm going to ask you, was that the answer to the question that you wish I'd asked you, which is, I believe what you said was, what are your greatest challenges, or how do you overcome your greatest challenges? Have you answered that question?
I don't think I actually answered that question, but to answer that question, I think my greatest challenge is, you know, as a young guy, my parents, they put a lot of responsibility on me. Like, they always expected me to do great things. So I always kind of felt like I was living up to, you know, this super high level of expectation that I had to achieve. And, you know, I was never afraid of it, but, you know, it would make you think, like, you know, if you came home with a bad grade, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't meet the mark. You know, I didn't do what they were asking me to do. And, you know, so you can sometimes internally, you know, take that and, you know, kind of be deflated, because you're like, oh man, I'm not what they want me to be. I'm disappointing them. I'm not, you know, living up to this or that. And again, like I said, you know, the way my mom was, oh, it's okay, baby. Don't worry about it. I know you'll do better, you know, next time. My dad's like, oh, you need to get that B up to an A. So I was like, okay. So like I said, I had that yin and yang, you know, so it was good that I had both. But, you know, sometimes I think that was the toughest part. And like I said, I think in a greater sense, ironically, I think that kind of drove me to, you know, to be good. But, you know, sometimes, like I said, I think it could lead to, you know, some areas where you may not be as confident in your own abilities. Because, again, you know, love my dad, love my mom. Dad wasn't always the guy who would be the one there with the comforting words. You know, he tried to motivate by, you know, with some, like, harsh words, I'll say, as opposed to, you know, attaboys or you go get them next time kind of language. So, That was, like, for me, I think the toughest challenge I had growing up. And, you know, even a little bit as I got older, you know, it kind of affected, you know, some of the relationships I had. If I kind of perceived someone as being a little more rough or as some people might say, keeping it real, you know, I maybe kind of shy away from, you know, folks like that, because it kind of reminded me, I guess, of more of, you know, more being like a critical kind of a interaction than helpful, nurturing kind of an action. So that for me, I think would have been my greatest challenge. And like I said, you know, I think things like that, I think sometimes people don't realize that it affects you when you're young, but you still carry that on with you as you get older. And like I said, I'm approaching middle age, but, you know, I'm still, you know, I guess battling a little bit of that sometimes, you know, whether it be, you know, at work or whether it be, you know, oh, now I'm a councilman, like, am I really doing a great job? You know, like, even though you're taking those steps, even though you're doing the right things, I think there's always that little piece of you that says, well, are you really doing your best? Are you really doing a great job? But yeah, I know you know, you've got these accomplishments, you got these awards, you got these, you know, these things that you got under your belt, these accolades, et cetera. But, you know, you're always, I think, always your greatest critic. So I think that's where it still, you know, can be a struggle. And like I said, but at least I think that the good thing for me is I actually am self-aware and self-introspective enough to understand what it is and try to take, you know, different actions so it doesn't, you know, take me off into a different path.
Yeah, I get that. Wow. Well, thank you so much for bringing all of this up, because that was, you know, there are lots of folks, lots of us who struggle with that, right? Like, we all have to overcome something in our lives, and particularly that happened to us in our childhood, to be able to live fully in our potential. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And thank you for this entire interview. I have really appreciated hearing your passion of wanting to make the world a better place and passing things on to generations behind you, not just in your nuclear family, but the people who come in contact with you, particularly the young people. So it's been really wonderful to hear that. And I just honor you, my king, and I pray that God will continue absolutely to develop you and grow you and deepen the work that you do and your influence, Councilman, as well as, you know, for your book. And I just really appreciate you being here today. And thank you for joining us. I hope that you were as inspired as I was with this interview. And I ask if there is a positive Black man, a king in your life that you want to see highlighted in this forum, please click the link below or in my bio, click the nomination form, and I will take it from there. In the meantime, please stay tuned next week for an amazing, another amazing king. And remember, please, to spread love and have a great day. Thanks so much. And Marlo, thank you so much. That was
Thanks so much, I appreciate it. Hey, listen, can I just give one quick shout out? I got to give a shout out to my brother, Lamar Relentless Smith. You know, he obviously, you know, is the one that let me know about you. I know he's spoken with you before, and you know, that's my guy. You know, I love that man. That's my brother. Thank you know, you. we're like this, and have been since the beginning. And you know, honestly, I think he was like the first person I probably mentored. And you know, he and I, me being the older brother, he being the younger brother. But like I said, we're like, you know, like twins. People see us, they think we're twins. So it's the funniest thing.
Well, it's funny because people who have been watching this and be like, wait, didn't we talk to him before? And I was waiting and I was wondering if you were going to mention it. But yes, indeed. And in fact, it was so beautiful because Lamar actually shouted you out so well in his interview. And so it's so great for you to bookend it and to honor him. Day too. So it's really wonderful, and family means everything. And so it's so great. And while your mom has passed on, she has left a beautiful legacy in her young men. And so I just, again, thank you so much. And I just really just look forward to hearing what else you're going to do. And so thank you all again, and take good care. Thank you so much, Marlo. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great one.
King Crush Thursday is produced by Val Gay for Ithan & Lloyd LLC. Copyright 2024. Check out the video of this interview on youtube.com/Val Gay. And while you're there, like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Also grab your King Crush Thursday limited edition merch at kingcrushthursday.com. Bye!